What's up and welcome to the Single Player Experience, the podcast that helps single player gamers manage their video game backlog. I'm your host, Sebastian Malden, and my main quest is to help you manage your ever-growing video game backlog by letting you know which single player games are worth your time and money so that you can have the best single player experience. This episode is the Single Player Experience Weekly Recap. This is where I batch together all the video games that were talked about during the week into one episode that you can get every single Friday. Now, let's start the show. DJ, cut the beat. I dove into the DC League of Super Pets video game. Some of you might be wondering why. That's a damn good question. To be honest, it's because I have a problem. I simply love the superhero genre, and I always feel the urge to check out the latest and greatest from Marvel and DC games. Sometimes for the better, and sometimes it's for the worst. So, what was my experience like with DC League of Super Pets, The Adventures of Crypto and Ace? Let's dive right into it. DC League of Super Pets isn't super at all. It's a throwback video game in so many ways. First of all, it's an on-the-rail shooter very much like the ones you used to play in an arcade. And second, because this is a licensed video game that feels like it was made and put out to capitalize on the movie without a lot of effort spent on actually making this a very good video game. In this video game, you play as your choice of Ace the Bat Dog or Superman's dog Crypto. Right from the get-go, the game feels like an afterthought because the voices of Dwayne The Rock Johnson and Kevin Hart are missing with the main characters. As the two main characters, you're on a mission to rescue missing pets from the evil mastermind Lex Luthor. That's right, the game doesn't even follow the decent main story that the movie has where Superman gets kidnapped, but instead, it has its own Lex Luthor-centric plot that doesn't seem very well thought out and is poorly executed. The gameplay is simple. Both characters fly through the air and use their powers or tech to engage in Star Fox-like aerial dogfighting. You fly on a very linear path and take on Lex's robots along your way until you get to the end where you fight the end of the level's boss fight. The game gives you basic attacks to fire at your enemies. You take down enough enemies and it gives you super attacks to use. Instead of giving you the ability to play as the other super pets from the movies, the game turns them into ally abilities. Honestly, the ally abilities aren't really that exciting and don't help to break up the boring gameplay loop. It seems like a waste not to have the allies as playable characters with their own moves and abilities. Maybe that would help break up and prevent the game from feeling samey by level 3. That's the key problem with this game. It's just flat out boring. Just like in Marvel's Avengers, you fight the same robots over and over and over again. Enemy variety is lacking, and that's a serious issue. The game also has collectibles for you to find. Throughout the levels, you find missing pets. In the level selection screen, you can play a minigame where you match the missing pets to the potential owners that you think would be the best adoptive fit. Each pet has its likes and dislikes, and you try to match that best with the likes and dislikes of the people who want to adopt pets. It honestly feels like the best aspect of the game, and a game that might even see some success on its own as a mobile game. It might be the only decent part of this game, to be honest. And I know I'm come across as mean in this review, but it's absolutely true. I get what some of you are probably saying as well. This game wasn't made or intended for your grown ass. And you're absolutely right. You're so right. The problem then lies with the fact that this game isn't great for its intended audience. This game is so repetitive and so boring that it will probably not even hold your child's attention. That's what's great about the Mario games. Just when you think you understand everything about the game, it adds a new element or a new gameplay mechanic that keeps you engaged. The Mario games give you that "I just got a new toy to play with" feeling with each new gameplay mechanic. This game lacks all that completely. Overall, regardless of age, I don't think this is a game that you should spend your time or your effort on. Its gameplay is bland and generic, and its gameplay loop grows stale quickly. I'm sorry to say this, but I don't think there's a single person or even a single fan base that I'd recommend this video game to. In this show, we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice, you log down 10 games. Those games are going to be your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your chill and relax game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative games. When you complete or get tired of one game, it leaves the backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list, and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, where should DC League of Super Pets the video game fit in your video game backlog? The answer is very simple. It shouldn't be there at all. I hate to say this, and I hate to sound mean, but stay as far away as you can from this game. You know that fast food restaurant that you absolutely hate and you wouldn't eat in 1,000 years? Consider this the video game version of that restaurant. Please do not put this in your video game backlog. Now let's talk about the next game we talked about this week. There I was, dodging another wave of projectiles being hurled at me by a giant skeleton wearing a sombrero. Yeah, you heard that right. A giant skeleton wearing a sombrero. This world was crazy, man. The pressure was immense, my health was low, and the stakes were absolutely at their highest. For you see, if I beat the skeleton, I get to not only move on to the next boss, but I get my revenge for 3 generations of my family. This sombrero-wearing skeleton killed my father, my grandpa, and my great-grandma, and I refuse, absolutely refuse to be another victim. So I took my weapon, this time a frying pan, and proceeded to lay the smackdown on his candy ass. For about 8 minutes straight, this fight went on. I smacked him with the frying pan, dodged a blow, then smacked again, until finally, the killing blow was dealt. Unfortunately, I was the one who died, though. However, instead of being discouraged by this loss, it added fuel to my fire. I picked out my next playable family member, my son, who happened to be a gun-wielding cowboy who suffered from color blindness and set out on the same quest as all my other ancestors. Not only to go put a whooping on a skeleton foe that seemed to have my number, but to see what other discoveries this chaotic castle had to offer. After 20 plus hours of this video game, I still can't get enough. So, what is this wild and chaotic video game? Some of you might have guessed it, but the game I'm going to recommend to you today is Rogue Legacy 2. In Rogue Legacy 2, just like all other roguelike games, you die over and over again, but you get new abilities and get stronger after each death. You probably played many games just like this one before, like Spelunky, Dead Cells, and Hades, which are some of the best roguelike games ever made. Roguelike 2 ranks right up there amongst those Hall of Fame level roguelike games. Just like the first game, in Rogue Legacy 2, you venture out to take down bad guys, explore 2D levels, and beat bosses. You played games of that description before, but nothing quite like this. Well, unless you played the first game. What makes this series so special is its air system, which lets players choose a new descendant to play as at the beginning of each run. The air system is really just an assortment of classes, ailments, spells, and weapons. The way that those things randomly mix together in each randomly generated character that you play as is what gives this game its unique twist. Combine that with its tremendously fun gameplay and addicting gameplay loop, and you have a game that's easy to fall in love with. In this game, you'll easily find tons of different loadouts and airs that you'll fall in love with. I have 4 classes that I lean towards, and each are fun to play in their own unique way. Just like with most roguelike games, you start off pretty weak and puny, but you slowly unlock resources and upgrades to become capable of taking on the game's 6 biomes and 6 tough bosses. It's a nice touch that you can use the gold that you gotten from your last run to get better gear for your family members and unlock pieces of your family estate to further upgrade your characters going forward. In Rogue Legacy 2, gold is your main resource and the way you raise your family strength, which is pretty handy considering that everything in the game provides you with gold. For example, if you destroy enemies, you get gold. You break objects, which everything in this game seems breakable, you get gold. And if you beat bosses, you get gold as well. This is vital because when you die and choose your next heir, you go back to your headquarters and you use a skill tree, aka upgrading your family castle, to decide how you're going to upgrade all the elements for your future descendants. Like, for instance, you can use some of your gold to upgrade your health for all your future descendants, that way it makes them harder to kill going forward. Getting gold on every run makes each run feel like it's worth your time and effort. Even if you don't like any of the three random heirs you have to choose from, you can use that run to go after as much gold as possible instead of trying to take on a boss. Or maybe you go out and use that run to unlock a shortcut to make it easier for yourself in the future. By the way, let's talk about some of the character quirks you get with your descendants. Even when you get a selection of characters with quirks you don't like, the game gives you gold amplifiers to make each one of those runs feel well worth it. For example, I really enjoy playing as the boxer class in this game, and one of the descendants that I chose to play as that was a boxer had a quirk that he would basically die after just one hit. And then there was another time where I chose an archer class and he had a quirk about him to where he was colorblind, so the whole run was done in black and white. It's a really cool element and it makes each run kind of feel unique and fresh. Other ways you can also use gold is to buy permanent gear for your family and to unlock additional classes for you to play as. Overall, there are 15 unique classes that you can choose from in this game. Some examples are your basic mage, knight, and ranger, which is basically an archer. You also get to unlock some pretty weird but awesome classes, like the boxer and the chef. The chef is my personal favorite since he can heal himself and reflect projectiles with his frying pan. All these features are great, but it wouldn't be much if the game wasn't fun to play. Thankfully, that's far from the case. The controls here are very snappy and responsive. The combat is simple and fun. The platforming elements of this game are well thought out, fun, and challenging. I also really want to shout out the game's accessibility options. The game allows you to basically tweak and adjust elements of the game. For example, you can turn a flight mode on, which helps those who have trouble with platforming elements in games. You can also raise and lower enemies' health and damage, if that suits you. It also features a new game plus mode, and in-game challenges for those who want more after beating the game. My hat's off to you if you're able to actually tackle those, because this game can get tough. The one flaw that I would give this game is this narrative. The story is presented in notes left around. I really wish this game had a more traditional way of telling a story, but I get it. This game's bread and butter is this fun gameplay loop and its fun descendant system. But I gotta say, I'm missing that story element, and it's a slight con that the story isn't a bit more focused here. Overall, Rogue Legacy 2 is a phenomenal roguelike game. Even with this non-traditional way of storytelling, the game's addicting loop draws you in and keeps you wanting more. By the way, you don't have to play the first game to understand what's going on here. Really, I'd skip the whole first game entirely and just play this one. This one is everything great about the first game multiplied by 12. Rogue Legacy 2 is a game that you will play and lose all your sense of time in. Seriously, it's that addicting. If you're a fan of platformers and roguelike games, then this one is a game that you seriously have to have in your collection. Definitely check out Rogue Legacy 2. Hey everyone, in this show we practice the 10 games backlog rule. In this practice you log down 10 games. Those games are your video game backlog. To be as productive as you possibly can be, we recommend that you only play 3 games at one time. One single player narrative game, one game that's going to be your relax and chill game, and another game that's going to be your palate cleanser game, which is a game that you play when you're not in the mood for your other narrative game. When you complete one game or kind of get tired of it, it leaves the video game backlog list. Then you decide which new game is added to the list and which game on the list advances to your active 3 games. So, where should Rogue Legacy 2 fit in your video game backlog? This game would be perfect in your relax and chill game spot or even your palate cleanser slot. This is the perfect game to play when you want to take your mind off things or when you need a break from your primary narrative game. But I would definitely recommend that you have Rogue Legacy 2 in your video game backlog. Now let's talk about the next game we talked about this week. I remember the last time that I got jumped. For those of you who don't know what getting jumped is, Urban Dictionary defines it as the act of being maliciously assaulted by 2 or a large number of individuals, usually physically, but it may be verbal. Last time I got jumped, I was in the 3rd grade. 2 other kids came out of nowhere and pounced. It was Stuart and Philip. They were in the same grade as me, and I would later come to find out that they jumped me for my Batman backpack. That's some cold-blooded shit, ain't it? Anyways, they should have thought it through because they didn't know how to fight. Despite the numbers advantage, I ended up whooping that ass. Sadly, I got in trouble just like they did. That was the last time I got jumped. At least until I played the game, Vampire Survivors. Vampire Survivors is a bullet hell roguelike indie where you try to survive as long as you can against hordes upon hordes of monsters. These monsters are the ones that jumped me. Unlike what happened with Stuart and Philip though, these ghosts and ghouls often succeed in beating my ass. In this game, you pick a character to play as, each who have their own benefits and early starting weapons, and you're dropped into a large map in what is essentially a single player horde mode. Despite the simple controls and concept, this game is surprisingly deep. It features a progression system that grants you the choice on which weapons you want to level up in the run that you're currently in. The more you level up your weapons, the more your killing power grows. Trust me, you're gonna need it because the enemies get progressively stronger and stronger. Speaking of the weapons, the game gives you a nice variety to have in your arsenal. The variety helps you change your playstyle and keeps the gameplay fresh. The unique aspect of the gameplay is the fact that you aren't in control of using or firing your weapons. They fire completely on their own. Some weapons fire in a designated manner, like in the direction that you're looking at, and then some fire randomly at enemies on the screen. The only thing that you're in control of is choosing which weapons you want to use and upgrade when you level up during a run, and the movement of your character. Taking the weapon control out of the player's hands was a risky gamble, but one that pays off here in a big way, and really helps the game stand out. It's so impressive how fun this game is, and really you're just moving your character around. Another aspect of the game that deserves a major shout-out is the game's map variety. These maps force you to try out different strategies. For example, the dairy plant has traps that add a new obstacle for you to think about. In contrast, the forest has a large open area that you can roam around in. It's so big that it might take you time to make your way over to treasure chests, as opposed to the dairy plant, which is a small contained area. This level variety is another way that the game mixes it up and keeps players from feeling any sense of staleness. The game isn't without its faults, so let's talk about the negatives. Let's be honest, Vampire Survivors looks rough. There's no other way of saying it. It looks very rough. The game features a 2D art style design that could have used a lot more TLC. Some of the sprite-based characters are well designed in details, while others feels kinda generic and like they belong in another game entirely. I really have to shout out the cool disintegration effect that happens when your enemies die. I never get tired of seeing it. Another aspect of the game that's a bit lackluster is its music. While it's not bad or anything, it's not memorable and nothing really stands out. It also doesn't really amplify what's going on in the game. A banger soundtrack would have taken the game to the absolute next level. Overall, Vampire Survivors is the perfect example of how the best things in life are often the simplest things. This game doesn't have a lot of the complexities of other roguelike games. Instead, it offers insanely fun and addicting gameplay that will have you saying, "Just one more run." Vampire Survivors is one of the best games in 2022, and it's a game that you should definitely check out and have in your video game backlog. It's currently on Game Pass for the PC and the Xbox Series X and S, so if you're on either of those platforms, definitely check it out. So where should Vampire Survivors fit in your video game backlog? This is the perfect game to have in your chill and relaxed spot. It doesn't have a story compelling enough for that main narrative spot. However, this game is so fun to play and has an insanely addicting gameplay loop. It's the perfect game to kick back and play when you want to have fun and relax. So, those are the video game recommendations of the week that you should consider adding to your video game backlog list. If you want me or my community of gamers to give you feedback on your backlog list, then join us in the Single Player Experience Discord server. Once you're in, feel free to share your backlog list or talk about good single-player game experiences that you've had lately. The link to join the free single-player experience Discord server is in the show notes. This has been the Single-Player Experience Weekly Recap episode, where I break down every single game that was talked about during the week. It comes to you every single Friday, and I hope to catch you next Friday for the next week's recap episode. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll catch you in the next one. Peace.